everyone. Welcome to the Weird World Podcast. My name is Carrie.
Hi, I'm Dean.
Hi, Dean.
Hi.
This is going to be a little weird bit.
Yes. Now, if it's not a weird bit, I apologize, but it will be.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. What happened about 52 years ago, to be specific, November 21st, 1971? Ring any bells? That day in history? What happened?
No clue. Was it Thanksgiving?
No, that'd be a weird question. It was something that happens every year. That'd be odd. What happened on July 4th, 1971? Was it Independence Day? Oh, you got nailed it. No, it was also something that happened, in a sense, on our show here, the Weird World Podcast, which, by the way, I don't think you actually said anything about. Hey, welcome to the... Did you say something about that?
Yes, Dean. Of course I did.
I'm having short-term memory loss. So that happened in August of 2021. Do you remember August of 2021? What shows did we upload in August of 2021? Anything at all?
Oh,
that's connected to something that happened November 21st, 1971. Nothing. I didn't expect it.
No.
D.B. Cooper, actually Dan Cooper, okay, the most famous hijack in the history of humankind.
Did they find him?
Maybe.
Seriously?
Possibly. They may have.
How did I not hear about this?
It's in the news.
Well, yeah, there's
certain news sources. Just to jog anybody's memory, he Dan Cooper was this guy who got on a Northwest Orient flight 305, November 24th, 1971, leaving Seattle, and he told a flight attendant that, hey, I got a bomb in my briefcase. He showed it, looked like dynamite, and said, give me $200,000, and hilarity ensued. No, they were able to, he let all the passengers off in Reno. They flew back. Flew back to Seattle. I don't remember. Anyway, yeah. I should know that. He jumped out of the plane somewhere in the Great Pacific Northwest, likely most folks think somewhere in the sort of southern Washington, never to be seen again. They're able to find some money washing down a river
several years later. Right.
Little kid found a bunch of sort of rotten, really beat up money that they traced to the cash that they had given the hijacker back in 1971. That was several years later, but nothing until now. So, according to, I read this in Popular Mechanics, which is, used to be a very, very prestigious kind of engineering and technical magazine, has now become a little bit clickbaity, or at least part. Sometimes they are, but their source was the U.S. Sun, which is not good.
It sounds like a tabloid.
It is. It's the American. I didn't even know this that it existed. It's the American version of the Sun, which is one of the biggest tabloid newspapers, dailies in England.
Yeah,
the Sun is it's absolute drivel. It's a worthless. It's not journalism. It's whatever the opposite of that is. So I imagine the U.S. Sun is the same.
So of course, you're using it as a source.
I know. So, I mean, this happened. A guy named Richard McCoy III has recently claimed that his mother confessed something to him several years ago before she died that does have to do with D.B. Cooper. Namely, that...
she's D.B. Cooper.
No. That would be awesome if that's true, but it wasn't. Her husband, Richard McCoy, I guess the second, this guy's dad, Richard McCoy III's dad, was indeed D.B. Cooper. And she knows because she helped him do it. Not just once, but twice. If you do harken back to those episodes 202, 203, and 204 for the three-part D.B. Cooper extravaganza we did in August of 2021, you would know that Richard McCoy was my favorite to be, and has long been a prime suspect among D.B. Cooper fanatics and researchers of being D.B. Cooper, because about a year later, he hijacked a plane, but he was caught like 3 days after he hijacked the plane. He bailed out again over, I think, Utah, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was caught, though, because he was, they traced the money to him. He was trying to pass it to a neighbor, and the neighbor goes, oh, okay, well, call the cops. Mm-hmm. And it was a fairly prominent hijacking. And he was caught. He was then imprisoned, and he fit the description. He looks like the famous sketch of D.B. Cooper, who, again, as you know, was actually Dan. He said his name is Dan Cooper. Some sloppy journalism turned him into D.B. Cooper, and we can't get it back. And he had airline, had like, I think he was like a paratrooper. He had military experience, so it really did fit. And of course, he did it again in 1972, just a year later.
Well, why did they rule him out?
No one ever ruled him out. You just can't rule him in. So he's long been a prime suspect. The FBI investigated the hell out of this for years and years and years. And he wasn't until they closed the case, someone on their main suspect list. His mother now says that, yeah, she helped with both heists, and including the second one on April 7th, 1972.
Did she have the money?
No, it's a little, I mean, it's not a perfectly sound story. He says that the son, Rick Cooper, said that he's provided the FBI with DNA evidence to back it up. I don't quite understand that, because I know they've had his, obviously, since he was imprisoned for a couple of years in federal prison. They had his DNA, and they did not match it to the tie clip and the various fingerprints and possible DNA on the plane. The problem, of course, with that is that lots of people may have handled it, so it's unclear if we'll ever get it could be Richard McCoy, and it still could, the not match to the, he had a clip-on tie and to the fingerprints doesn't necessarily mean it's not Richard McCoy. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know what he says by, he's provided DNA evidence for them to look into this. I don't know what that means. It doesn't seem to mean anything to me. He says also he's only coming forward now because his mother actually confessed this to him years ago, but he promised her he'd wait until she died before he'd tell anyone. She died in December 2020, which brings a little bit of why are you saying this now?
Well, what happened to his father?
Over 3 years later, his father, Richard McCoy, spent about 2+ years in federal prison. He escaped. Oh. It's a big deal. He got all the way to, I want to say, Maryland or something like that. I probably should have looked at my notes from a couple of years ago. But he was killed in a shootout with the police or the FBI as an escaped prisoner on the run.
Wow.
So
he just didn't want to live by the rules, did he?
He did not. But he was probably my favorite. Remember, I also said, I don't know if you call this, but I always felt that D.B. Cooper did get away. He did get out of the forest and that he had help.
Mm-hmm.
And his help was who better than his wife?
Mm-hmm.
There was probably some approximate area he was told to wait for, or she was going to be, and he was to jump there. He was to find. I mean, all you have to do is find a road, get to a payphone, and she's waiting at a payphone in southwestern Washington somewhere. He's within, even if he's been 30 miles away.
Where do they live?
They lived in. I think they lived in various places. I think they lived in Utah.
God, well,
really should have looked this up.
Yeah. And did they believe he got away with some of the money?
He must have. I mean, theoretically, yes. Some people think, he had it in kind of a somewhat loose duffel bag kind of thing. And some obviously did slip out probably on the descent.
Right.
Who knows if all of it got out? We don't know. Rick McCoy III, this guy who said, my mom confessed and my dad is D.B. Cooper. Two things. One, he could be.
Mm-hmm.
Two, bet you there's a book deal somewhere, or at least he's angling for one, because everybody, you know, look at the Black Dahlia. If you take the confessions, there's been 37 Black Dahlias, and they're all confessed by their children.
Mm-hmm.
But this one I always thought was very possible. And again, having a wife who's your helper, because I think Dan Cooper, D.B. Cooper had a helper, it fits. So I kind of like this one.
I wouldn't help you hijack an airplane. Sorry.
Oh, wow. That's, I mean, Carrie, it was in the vows. Did you remember that? And help me hijack a plane and commit other federal... Nothing?
Well, no.
We'll see.
Sorry.
We'll go back to the video. Okay.
Okay.
Problem, of course, here is that this is at least the sixth person to confess to being D.B. Cooper. And again, this is not Richard McCoy personally confessing, but it's his son saying his mom, his wife, told him this was true. So I'm going to round up a little bit of all the other confessions. We, by the way, did handle these. I went back and I did look that up. And we talked about all of these, except the first one I'm going to talk to you about was a guy named Jack Kaufelt. And I went back and looked at my notes and I did write it up. I deleted it though. So I didn't cover it just for time, I believe, is my memory. So Jack Kaufelt was this kind of con man, police informant, just a real shady character. And he would say, like, for instance, he was the chauffeur for Abraham Lincoln's last direct descendant. Like, he drove the limo for Lincoln. I can't remember the guy's name, blah, 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 Lincoln.
Yeah.
Like Robert Todd Lincoln's, great, great grandson or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know, Does that,
what
does
a
that
claim
make
to
you,
fame.
Yeah. Does that make you famous somehow? And in 1972, not long after D.B. Cooper hijacking, he confessed, quote unquote, to his cellmate in prison, who apparently had, I guess, or at least told Jack Kaufelt that he had some kind of ties to Hollywood, to the movie industry from his L.A. days. And so Jack Kaufelt says, hey, guess what? I'm D.B. Cooper. You're getting out soon. Go get a movie deal for me and we'll both be rich. So he said he made up some details too, like he landed near Mount Hood, 50 miles away from where the FBI thought that he had landed, that he lost all the money, I guess, tumbling down. And so that's why he was broke, because you know, he was broke. He had to explain that. He'd injured his leg real bad, allegedly, during the hijacking. And he was too old. He was in his mid-50s. Dan Cooper looked like he was maybe mid-30s. And he was a pathological liar and con man. So this is a fake one. But he directly confessed. And clearly, though, he was making the story to make some money. And you'll see that kind of be a pattern here for the rest of these alleged confessions.
Yeah.
So the next one is a guy named Dwayne Weber. All of these other ones, I have five more. I'll just go through them quickly. Five more that confessed to being Dan Cooper. Dwayne Weber, he was also another longtime criminal. He had 20 years of forgery and burglary and things like that. And he also, his wife, Jo Weber, said that he had confessed to her in his deathbed when he was in Florida hospital. And so she then told like CBS News or something like that. And he had said something like, hey, come here, come closer. And she got really, really close, right next to his face. And he says, I have a secret to tell you. What? He says, I'm Dan Cooper. And around the time, people said, like, no one knew his name was Dan Cooper. So how could she make that up? Shut the fuck up. Everybody knew that he was supposed to be called Dan Cooper. But like, she said that like it was like, see, I can't be lying.
Yeah.
She claims that I didn't know what he meant because I had never heard of Dan Cooper. Really, you can't associate that with D.B. Cooper, the most famous hijacking and an incredibly famous case. I have movies about it, people. So you're kind of dumb then. If you couldn't associate that. That's just he claims, though. So, again, no connection, no prints, no DNA, nothing like that. The FBI actually ruled him out specifically. The next one was Barbara Dayton. You heard that right. A woman confessed to being D.B. Cooper because, so allegedly, this woman said that she had been the first person to get a gender reassignment surgery about 2 years or so before and that she had been, you know, before the D.B. Cooper. And that she dressed in man's clothes and like deepened her voice and everything and pretended to be Dan Cooper to hijack the plane a couple years after she got this surgery, supposedly. And that she also was another self-confessed person. She told like friends of hers. I can't remember what the show was. It was one of those like, I don't know, probably History Channel shows or something like that. But they had the friends that she supposedly, or he, I guess, supposedly confessed to because they used to hang out. Barbara Dayton was like a wannabe pilot, can never get her license. She was very bitter. And so she claimed to one of her friends who she would hang out at the airport with and his wife that she was indeed D.B. Cooper. So this is years after the hijacking. If you recall this case, the FBI came knocking on her door shortly later and said, that's still an active case. You can go to jail for the rest of your life. And she quickly said, I was joking. Yeah. I lied. I made it up. I'm not D.B. Cooper.
Of course.
Which is actually true because she's not. William Pratt Gossett was another one. He said this is another one where his son, Greg Gossett, said that his father, William Gossett, on his 21st birthday in 2008, showed him two keys to a safety deposit box and said, within that safety deposit box, guess what's there?
Money.
The money. Whatever's left over from the money he lost from the D.B. Cooper hijacking. And he said, you know, so here you go. When I die, you can have it or something like that, right? But he said, and you can't tell anybody even after I die. And don't tell anyone, which of course he did. And his son says a great quote, I find. He did have the type of temperament to do something like this. I mean, case closed. That must be him. My dad was like that. He'd do that. He'd hijack a plane for sure. So there's no link. The FBI thought it was just silly. And the guy, William Gossett, he was a radio talk show host in Salt Lake City about the paranormal and things like that. Okay. So, I mean, he was just inserting himself into a very, very famous case. Not paranormal, but, you know, unexplained mystery.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's kind of nonsense. It's been, so it's been like, what, 15, 16 years? Open the goddamn box, bro.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. Open the safety deposit box. Show us the money. You'll be famous. You'll go on TV. You'll be able to write a book. So obviously the fact that he hasn't, was he just waiting? I don't know. I'm nervous. I don't want to check. As far as anybody knows, he hasn't checked.
He opened it and didn't tell anybody. Or, there was nothing in it.
It never happened.
Yeah.
Not even the key thing. Yeah. He's making the whole thing up, which is, I think that's probably true. Second to last one is Walter Rika. We covered him as well. He was, again, kind of this form of paratrooper. He's also another a decent case for him, for that guy, because he did have kind of the background for it. He was roughly the right age, that kind of thing. People always say, oh, and he kind of looked like it was an average white guy, a not overweight white guy. Any not overweight white guy looks like the picture of Dan Cooper, more or less, if you're roughly the same age. So he said he was like a spy. He's also another guy who was a big storyteller. So this one kind of fits the pattern. It wasn't a child who said Walter Rika confessed. It was a friend, I suppose, a close friend named Carl Lauren, who many years later said that he had recordings, and I think he did release them, of his friend Walter Rika admitting to being D.B. Cooper, as if that's evidence that Walter Rika was really D.B. Cooper.
Did he release it after his friend died?
I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
So...
Worthless.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just if you have Walter Rika on tape saying, I was D.B. Cooper.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, get in line, bro. Yeah. And he also said, wait, I have documents detailing how Rika had use some of the $200,000 money. What? So you have his bank accounts too? And that means, I mean, it's just that's not evidence. Uh-uh. He also said that Rika had, after the hijacking, was a, quote, high-level covert intelligence operative for various governments.
Okay.
See, it's that type of person. Walter Rika is. And Carl Lauren, he knows that his friend was full of shit, but, you know, he wants to. He wrote a book about it. So this is another cash-in attempt. And he said that he found there's some guy that his other best evidence is that Rika had said that he landed near Clay Ellum, Washington, which is pretty far from where almost everyone thinks that he actually would have jumped out and land. And that.
Do you mean Clallum?
It's C L E and then separate word, E L U M. How do you spell it? I mean, how do you pronounce it?
I don't know. Never heard.
I have
never
no idea.
I
forgot to look that up.
Okay.
I'm totally guessing. There's someone watching right now who lives in the town I'm not going to say again, laughing at me and hates me.
Washington has some. Hard to pronounce.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Puyallup. Puyallup.
I prefer Snohomish.
I like Snohomish.
I'm doing Seattle, and I'm going to stick with Seattle and Everett. That's all I'm going
to
do.
And then there's good old Wenatchee.
Wenatchee's great. I'll do that too. Vancouver also in Washington. The other Vancouver.
That's easy.
Well, in this version of it, that he had gone to a roadside diner outside this town that I won't say the name of. Mm-hmm. It's like Voldemort. And he asked a dump truck driver to give him like directions to a diner or something like that. I don't know. It was suspicious, allegedly. And then decades later, Lauren, the friend, said he found a guy named, this is a name I can't pronounce, Jeff Osedatz. It's a Polish name in all likelihood. And this person, Jeff Osedatz, I guess worked at that diner. Remember, this was like 30 years ago, and he recalled that a man at a diner requesting that he provide directions to someone else on the phone. In other words, he found a guy who said, yeah, I heard that conversation, and I remember that conversation decades ago. A nondescript, nothing conversation you overheard someone say on a payphone at a diner that you worked at decades ago.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Try harder. That's just stupid on the face of it. The FBI, as a matter of fact, said, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No one has. There's no reason for him to remember that. You didn't think, hey, is that D.B. Cooper? So just, I mean, this guy, Carlone, has just this nothing that he presents could even be called evidence, let alone convincing evidence. So to Walter Rika. And also, by the way, I won't go into the details, but he did provide, like, here's what happened. You know, I landed here. I did this, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. People have looked into it, said, no, a lot of those things just don't fit with what we do know is true.
Yeah.
So. It is that is a little conundrum. If you want to, seem like it's true. So you're making up the story. If you want it to seem like it's true, you kind of have to provide some details. Mm-hmm. And then, but then every detail you provide gets checked. It's like all the creepypasta when they always say, you know, they won't, don't give the person's name or the town or anything like that. Whenever you don't see details in a story that supposedly is true, massive red flags. And so, but the reason you're not seeing details is the person who's writing that fake story knows that those can be checked. And when, right, they have, when details are checkable, yeah, they're in trouble because they're writing a fake story. The last guy's Robert Rackstraw. We also talked about, again, we talked about all these guys. Rackstraw was another, he was a guy, kind of a scam artist kind of guy. He faked his own death. He said, he's talked about how, another one of those wannabes. You know, he said he liked, worked for the CIA teaching the Iranians, the Shah's troops in Iran before the revolution in the late 70s, how to fly like attack helicopters for the government or some, you know, but he was arrested and put in prison because he's just a little crook. Yeah. That's what he was. But you notice that a lot of these people did these weird, they're just, yeah, they're nondescript people who have delusions of grandeur and make up a lot of stories. They're, yeah, they're fabulous. People who confess to things they didn't do are either like this, they want to be more important than they really are, or they're, you know, a little bit mentally impacted by bad, by the devil, demons, who I believe is how you explain mental illness. So most of these folks, in fact, it seems like all of them are the fabulous yeah, types who are just trying to make themselves important. Rackstraw's case is also just this week that people looked into it. You know, this investigator named Tom Colbert just looked into it for years and been convinced that Rackstraw did it, but he didn't. There were letters written to newspapers after the hijacking, supposedly from D.B. Cooper, saying, I am D.B. Cooper, and da-da-da-da. Yeah. And everybody thinks that they're fake.
Oh, okay.
You know, the real D.B. Cooper. This is after Zodiac, so it's probably something along those lines. Or just people, I mean, Jack Gerber had all those, probably every letter written to newspapers claiming to be Jack the Ripper was fake as well. Yeah. Many of them were probably written at that time by newspaper reporters. Everybody thinks they're fake. They're very likely fake. This guy who's investigating the Rackstraw case, Tom Colbert, said, no, I like cracked a code and they were from the real D.B. Cooper and that's Robert Rackstraw. And I can, you know, they were like coded messages about him being D.B. Cooper or something like that.
Yeah.
Again, that's just, it's fantasy. And Rackstraw himself would frequently tell people, I'm D.B. Cooper, but then it kind of got annoying and he would start, you know, people were like this guy Colbert was investigating and trying, insisting on, and he was just trying to live the rest of his life. And he eventually started people, I'm not D.B. Cooper, shut the hell up. I never was D.B. Cooper. So, you know, I mean, they would say something like, oh, well, he was just denying what was true, but, you know.
Yeah.
Officially, he denied being D.B. Cooper after kind of talking shit about it for a while before that. And the name of his book about Rackstraw being D.B. Cooper, I can't remember exactly. Oh, D.B. Cooper, Case Closed. At least he put a question mark on there, but anytime you see a book called Case Closed about a famous unsolved mystery, like Patricia Cornwall infamously did that about, right, Jack the Ripper,
yeah,
it's always, they know deep down they're full of shit and they're wrong. That's my rule.
Right.
If you use those two words in your book, you know you're wrong. Because it's just so arrogant. It's just you're willing to be an asshole to sell a few more books. So that is our confession from Richard McCoy. But again, through his mom and then through his son. So it's a little bit tenuous like, yeah, that. It's not open and shut by any stretch.
Nah.
So, but still, I would still say, as I think I did before, that I do think Richard McCoy, right, is the most likely one.
Yeah.
And I do, and that the fact that this confession kind of dovetails with what I think, I kind of like, because again, his wife said I helped him, and I'm almost positive D.B. Cooper had help.
I think I asked you, or we talked about it, did he not specify anything about the money? About what, his whether, oh,
doesn't sound like it. At least it wasn't reported when I read, yeah, that you mean,
see,
the
son. Terrible. That's a huge detail.
Well, remember,
your mom confesses to you. Oh, okay. So did he,
yeah,
end up with any of the money? What did you guys do with,
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
That's
$200,000 in 1971 was a big chunk of change. Yeah. I believe $7 trillion in today's money. But still, that was a lot of money. So yeah, you would have lived differently, you would think. Unless some people think he didn't spend it because it was too hot.
Right.
You know.
Well,
or he lost it.
You would not spend any of it.
No,
you ended up with some of it.
You'd be careful.
I understand. You wouldn't do it immediately.
I think, if you didn't know offense and maybe, no offense might touch that money. It was the hottest money in the world at that time. But still, worst case scenario, you go to Florida or just something that's really far away from and spend it in smallish amounts or something. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, how do you launder a big sum of money?
Unfortunately, I do not know how to launder money.
I don't
either. In your vows, you promised to help me launder money if I ever need to. They're in there as well. There's a whole list of crimes that you have to help me with.
No, I
don't. You don't remember. No. So that is the story of the confession. We finally know who D.B. Cooper is. Maybe, probably not.
So that's why the title of this episode is D.B. Cooper - Case Closed.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that. Question mark. I don't know what the title is going to be, but hopefully you'll listen to it.
Yeah.
Or you just did, actually. So what the hell am I talking about? And hopefully you listen to the next one. Until next time, Weird World
Podcast.
That's it for us.
Thanks for listening.